Our scripture reading this morning is from James, starting at verse 26 and ending at chapter 3, verse 2. It is found in most of the Pew Bibles on page 1267. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check.
What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? To be a disciple of Jesus Christ, in the original language in the Hebrew, that word disciple means student. So when Jesus came and he called disciples, he was calling students, and he was, what do they call him, a rabbi, and some of our English translations say teacher. His disciples call him teacher. He is the one that is teaching them how to live, teaching them what it looks like to be in the kingdom of God, and teaching them God's plan of salvation, teaching them above all things who Jesus really is and what Jesus has ultimately been called and sent to this world to accomplish. So are you a disciple of Jesus? If you're a true Christian, you're a student of Jesus. And if you're a student of Jesus Christ, that means you're always learning, you're always growing, you're always trying to figure out your questions and resolve the conflicts and understand how do I serve him, how do I love him, how do I follow Jesus in everything that I do and say. God has provided us teachers to help us follow Jesus. That's what I'm called to do. That's what our elders are called to do. In fact, if you look at the qualification for elders in 1 Timothy, chapter 3, I believe it is, elders or overseers and deacons, an overseer and elder must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. So being a leader in the church means that you're able to teach. And does that mean that if you're an elder, if you're a deacon, you have to have classes that people go to, have homework and assignments and things like that? No, it means that those who lead the church know Christ and have followed him long enough that they can help other people. A deacon is someone who has stewarded his own resources well enough to know how to steward the church's resources and help other people work through things like budgeting and stewardship and giving and tithing and how do I use my gifts and how do I find a place to serve Christ in my life. An elder, I hope and pray, an elder is someone that you might go to for your spiritual questions or struggles. If you've got a belief, Christian belief question, or a question about the Bible, or if you need someone to pray for you because you're struggling with something, I hope and I pray that elders of this church will be on the top of your list of someone to go to and say, please be in prayer for me about this. That's all that is meant and encompassed in the idea in the Bible of what a teacher is. A parent is called to teach a child. Parents are called to teach and train and instruct their children. In the same way, it's meant to be a comprehensive, how to live, what to know, practical knowledge as well as theoretical knowledge. And so James here in the first verse of chapter 3 says, well, not many of you should presume to be teachers because the Lord will judge you more strictly. What does this mean? Well, I think it's pretty clearly that if you are a teacher, that means you have influence. And if you have influence other people over other people, God is going to hold that dimension of your life also accountable. On the sermon outline, the brief outline I have, we know what discipleship is. That means being a student of Jesus Christ, of following Jesus as your chief and master teacher, but then also heeding human teachers in that process. Teachers and leaders have knowledge, they have character, and they have responsibility. This is what teachers and what leaders are called to have: knowledge, character, and responsibility. So first of all, I want to talk about knowledge. Teachers must know the subject they're teaching, right? You don't have a teacher that doesn't know the material. In fact, if you have a teacher that doesn't know what he or she is talking about, you have a terrible teacher, right? Leaders need to know where they are going and how they're going to get there in order to lead other people that way. One thing I often say is you can't give what you don't have. You can't teach someone else or lead someone else where you're not already going yourself. Teachers are the ones that know material. They have a body of knowledge. They have a certain mastery over their subject matter so that they can lead other people through the topic. And if you want to know something better, if you want to really dive in and get to know something better, teach it. And I guarantee you, you'll study and you'll figure it out and you'll work through things in a way that you'll remember much better than you would if you didn't even bother with this. In fact, it's been said that if you read something and you retain about 20% of that. Some people, if they hear something, they retain about 20%, 15% of that. But if you have to teach something, you remember almost 80 to 90% of that material. So teaching requires an embodiment and a delivery of knowledge. This is why we're supposed to share our Christian faith with other people. Because if we don't, if we can't, it shows that we really don't know much about what we believe. But it's just part of the Christian life is to, as Matthew 28 says, make disciples, make new students of Jesus Christ, teaching them what I've taught you, and we're all called to do that. This is not something that only pastors do or only elders do. This is for all the church to do. Perhaps knowledge is not the best way to capture it, but maybe I should have written knowledge and skills or practical knowledge. There's some know-how dimension to good teaching as well. We're not simply information transmitters. All communication is human to human, and our knowledge must be personally embodied and personally communicated, and we must have integrity that we are believing and heeding to what we know as well. Well, that connects with the second thing that we need as teachers and leaders. We need character. We need to have a sense of we are now mastered by the material that we are teaching. So we don't simply open the Bible and says, well, this is how we need to master God's word, but this is how God's word needs to master us. You have to understand this in order to live by it. But the question about character is, are you living by it? Not just knowing it, but now are you doing it? Have you practiced this? Have you put in some spiritual disciplines in your life that have shaped your life over time, over the years and decades? So you maybe have wrestled through a season where prayer was hardly present in your life, and you struggled, and you found the routine that kept you in God's presence in prayer. And you've worked through that, and now you have character and you have integrity to be able to lead other people into prayer. Or perhaps you've struggled through a different sin or a weakness or a specific temptation that Satan seems to attack you with. You've learned how to resist it, and now you can lead other people in how to resist that temptation themselves. Teachers and leaders need knowledge, they need character. And third of all, they need to know what they're responsible for and who they're responsible to. Spider-Man got this right? The comic strip, the movie, with great power comes great responsibility. This is right here in James 3, verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because those who teach will be judged more strictly. Being a teacher means being a leader, which means being an influencer. So you have responsibility of how you're influencing other people. You have responsibility of the knowledge you're sharing. You have responsibility over the character that people are observing. We lead by example so often. And in one dimension, we're responsible to God for our own actions and our own activities and our own lives. But when we're a leader and when we're a teacher, we have a new responsibility of how that also influences others. I think I shared this before, that in college, I took a course on teaching the Bible to adolescents. It was just a class that I wanted to take, and I ended up getting a theology minor at Dort College on teaching Bible, and I just wanted to be a teacher in the church. And this was the first verse that was read in this semester course, James 3, verse 1. And we wrestled through this and we worked through this, that yes, you have a new weight, a new responsibility on your shoulders to be a teacher. And you need to embrace that and realize that in order to do this well. And you have to see that it is worth it. It is so worth it. I'm accountable to God for what I teach and what I preach, but it is so worth it to see people's lives changed and shaped. It's so worth it to hear how people are growing. Even when I have to confess that I messed that one up, or I failed to deliver on this one, it's so worth seeing people grow in Christ. And this shouldn't deter us. We know in other part of the New Testament, it says those who desire to be an elder or an overseer or a teacher in the church desire a good thing. This isn't meant to scare people away. It's just meant to give us a sense that we have responsibility here. Now, I want to talk about the difference between having responsibility for people and have responsibility to people. I talked about this in a recent deacon meeting, actually, and it's really helpful to understand this. Okay, so if you're a leader, you have responsibility for people when they don't have the ability to do something themselves. Think about being a parent. Thinking about feeding your children as a parent. There's a time when your child does not have the ability to feed himself or feed herself, and you're responsible for getting food into that little mouth. You're responsible for providing that. And you're responsible for giving that child food, even when that child's, you know, resisting, and maybe you do a little airplane thing or the car thing or surprise, and then, you know, stick it in there. Whatever you do, you're responsible for feeding your child when that child doesn't have the ability to do that herself. But as your child grows, you're no longer sticking food in his mouth. Your responsibility is not just for, but it changed into a responsibility to that child of providing the food, but then that child has to eat, of teaching that child how to feed himself or herself, of enabling and empowering that person to live on his own eventually. And so you're not just, it changes from responsibility for to responsibility to. Same thing with safety and protection. If your toddler runs into the street, you are legally liable for that. You have to oversee and make the boundary that that child will not do something that endangers his or her life. But when you're a teenager, you're responsible to that child to communicate the need to take care of yourself and look both ways and things like that. And your 18-year-old that runs out into the street, you're no longer liable for what he or she does. So we all have our own life that we have to live before God, and none of us can live the other person's life for them. But each of us is responsible for ourselves. But in the church, we are also responsible to each other. God will hold you accountable for not only how you live your life before him, but if you're a leader, your responsibility to shepherd the people of God. Your responsibility to make sure they're taught the Bible. Your responsibility to make sure that you give them opportunities to give their gifts and offerings and see them go to worthy causes, that our whole church together is saying, we care about you, neighbor, and we're with you through this struggle, friend. I'm not responsible for everything that you do with your life. God's going to judge you how you respond, if you reject or you accept his word. But I'm responsible to bring his word, and I'm responsible to you to teach you and lead you and guide you and answer your emails and phone calls and come up with ways to guide you in life. I'm responsible to raise questions when I see you not living out your faith. I'm responsible for that. God's going to hold me accountable. Say, you saw that person in error. Why didn't you say something? I'll have to deal with that. That's part of James 3, verse 1. Being judged more strictly. But you're also responsible to your elders and to your deacons and to your pastor and to other leaders in your life, to your parents, to the civil authorities, for heeding their authority, to listening to them when they do give you guidance, for responding when they do call for a special collection for a special cause. We are servant leaders, and we're also servant followers, and we have a responsibility for ourselves, but we have a mutual responsibility to each other as the people of God. Now, I want to conclude by connecting this to the principle found in Luke 12, verse 48b. We already read this passage in the midst of the charge to our elders. Luke 12, I'm going to read verses 47 and 48. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. Hear that warning? If you know what your master wants, but you don't do it, or you know your master's will and you're not ready for him when he carries that will out, you'll be punished. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with fewer blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. My question is, how much have you been given? How much has God poured into your life over the years? For everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. This is the universal principle that we read in James 3, verse 1. It applies to everybody here because we've all been given something. We've all been given gifts. We've all been given talents. We've all been given time. We've all been given instruction and teaching. And the question that we all ask ourselves here is, what are you doing with it? What am I doing with what I've been given? Some of you have been worshiping in church and been hearing God's word for decades, 30 years, 40 years. Some of you, 5 years, 10 years. Those of us who've heard it more and more and more are going to be more and more accountable. What are you doing with it? How is it impacting your life? You're responsible for how you respond to God's word, and you're responsible to others to also teach them what you yourself know. I pray, I hope that in 2018, we're going to be servant leaders and servant followers, and we're going to take what God has given us and continue to do a lot with it, because that's what God is calling us to do. In Christ, God has given all of us forgiveness of our sins. Immense forgiveness. Huge wiping away the slate clean. And doesn't that demand much forgiveness from us? To say, I forgive you, brother. I forgive you, sister. I'm sorry for that. You're forgiven. I'm never going to mention it again. Since Christ has given us power from on high, the Holy Spirit, to work in our lives, don't we want to empower each other and help each other grow? God has given us families. What are we doing with our families? Are we bringing our families and placing them before Christ and saying, here's what our family, how our family is going to serve you? He's given us friends. Are we making the most of our friendships? He's given us education outside the church. He's given us places to work, coworkers to interact with. To those who've been given much, much will be asked for. If you've been entrusted with much, much will be asked in terms of time, in terms of knowledge and character, in terms of your finances, how you serve. Let's serve the Lord as leaders and followers in the year ahead together.